Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday in November, and we should all be very well rested. We got an extra hour's sleep last night because we changed the clocks, but it's good to have you here, and we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together as part of our first Sunday of the month worship service. If you're visiting today, we extend a special welcome to you, and if it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you place the card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I will not be reading it to you, but just calling your attention to it. I do want to highlight a couple other things that are going on. During coffee hour today, you will see on the desk in Judson Chapel, there is a White Cross request list. If you would like to sign up to provide one of those or more of those items that will be helping our missionaries, especially here in Massachusetts, those who work with multicultural ministries here in Massachusetts. Talking about missions, last month we promoted the World Mission Offering, and to date we have received $549 towards our goal of $800. The books aren't closed on that. If someone would like to make an additional gift or make a first gift, there are envelopes in the pews for the World Mission Offering. Also, we are continuing to receive your spare change for the Penny Project, which will be going to support housing families in Malden as they work with children in poverty. Now, you may recall, if you've been here before, you may have heard us talking about the Penny Project, which is part of our denominational program, trying to raise $15 million pennies, I'm sorry, representing one penny representing every child that lives in poverty in the United States. And the goal is to finalize that program by December 15th. A family in our church has challenged us to raise $2,000 worth of pennies. And to date, $476.98 has been collected and deposited. The money that is in the container has not been counted yet and does not go towards that. But we would accept any of your coffee hour money that you may place in that during after the service today. Also, on the back page of the bulletin, I want to call your attention to the Adoniram Judson Women's Toy Harvest Celebration, and there's information there about that, and I will not read it to you, but you may look at it at your leisure. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 62 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading responsively from Psalm 149 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Let us read from God's holy word. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints.
Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king.
For the Lord takes delight in his people.
He crowns the humble with salvation.
May the praise of God be in their mouths.
May the nations be glad and sing for the Lord.
For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth.
May the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you.
Our opening hymn on this All Saints Sunday is For All the Saints, number 685. Please note we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
God, our Creator, to you 1,000 years is like a minute. But for us, every second counts. Every second is scheduled. Every minute is precious. An hour of overtime means an hour away from our loved ones. But at this moment, we have chosen to give our time to you, to step out of our demanding schedules, to stop and pray and worship and remember that life is more than what our appointment books tell us. God, we honor and praise you with our most precious commodity, our time. Receive our thoughts, our words and deeds today, and bless us with your Spirit. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we now pray as he taught, so we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I will go into sharing our time. I don't see any children in the sanctuary this morning, so Sharon, I don't know if you have students today or not. You're not teaching today. You are, but I'm not sure there are any students today for you, so if you want to go out back, just make sure there's nobody out back. That's up to you. So we have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another before we spend a few moments in prayer. We celebrate that Caroline Landers has been able to worship with us today, and I overheard Caroline saying it's been over a year since she's been able to be here with us. And Caroline, it's good to have you here. I know physically and health-wise you're not doing really well. I heard you saying that. But we want to pray for you, and just we celebrate that you are able to be here today, and you know that you are here. We welcome back Dorothy and Lana, who have been in Jamaica for, I guess, 3 weeks. But safe travels both ways, and so we just are so thankful that you're back with us, and that's another celebration. We do want to remember Jackie May, who is in the hospital right now, and we want to keep Jackie in prayer today. Also, Mark and Dottie had asked for prayers for their granddaughter Jen last week, and she did have a lot of tests this week, and we'll be having some more tests and some more surgery. But they think it may not be quite as bad as perhaps, you know, thought at first, but there might be a light at the end of the tunnel, but there's a long tunnel to go through. So we want to keep Jen in prayer today and in coming days as well, as she faces some medical treatments coming up. Also, we want to remember George Burgess. Our scoutmaster has retired from our Troop 603. He was scoutmaster for 43 years. So quite a tribute, quite an honor. Some of the scouts, obviously, I haven't even been alive that long, but there is a celebration for him coming up, and so we want to remember. George has been quite ill in the last couple of years, battling cancer, and I think it was mostly health that forced him to make that decision. But 43 years is quite a significant time. So we are thankful to God for the leadership of our scoutmaster. For all that time, and the troop is in good hands now, but there will be some transitions taking place. So we do want to remember our Boy Scout Troop 603 today, and their Scoutmaster George Burgess, who has retired. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns? As you go, hey, your nephew David on your husband's side passed away, so I keep his two daughters in prayer and the extended family during this time. Okay, I want to keep David and his family and Choir, have any requests this morning while I'm facing you? No? Okay. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Liz? Okay, Brenda Flynn, one of the your Santa sisters, passed away unexpectedly last week. Okay. Mary Moore, president of North Shore Black Women, also passed away. So the Flynn family and the Moore family, we want to keep in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Holy God, we gather this day as your people in this place. We thank you for the privilege of being able to be here. On this All Saints Sunday, we are mindful of our ancestors who have gone before us, ancestors in the faith, who for some have lived very quiet lives and others more public, more flamboyant lives, and others paying the ultimate sacrifice and being martyrs for their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we look to them as role models for our lives this day. We know that while we are not perfect, we recognize that they were not perfect either, that we are all sinners, but we all come to you praying for forgiveness of our sins, looking for sainthood, but not with the capital S, but the small s of being part of your people. And Lord, as we gather this day and worship you, we thank you for these moments that we have to be in conversation with you. And we recognize that conversation is not just us talking, but us also listening. We thank you, O God, that you are a personal God, that you want a relationship with each one of us individually, as well as collectively as a congregation. And Lord, we lift up to you our worries and our concerns today, as well as our joys and our triumphs. We pray this day, O God, for those who are ill, especially those who are hospitalized or undergoing treatments or just perhaps not feeling very well today or feeling weak, and those who are injured. We pray for your healing spirit to be with them and for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for the families that we've mentioned today, especially who are in mourning, missing a loved one through death, and just pray for their spirit of comfort and peace to be with them. Lord, as we think of our congregation, we are so grateful for the Boy Scout troop that we started. The men in our congregation helped to form that, and the pastor at the time, 115 years ago. And Lord, we're thankful that for Scoutmaster George Burgess and his long tenure as Scoutmaster and the number of boys that he has helped to shape and mold, and the number of Eagle Scouts that have come from the troop under his leadership. Lord, we are so proud of that and so grateful for his leadership. And Lord, we pray for the troop today as they go through a time of transition, that the new leadership may have wisdom and strength and guidance to lead the current boys in the troop, and will be able to welcome more boys into the troop, that it may continue to grow and continue to shape young men in with civic responsibility. Lord, we also pray for our congregation and our organizations, and especially our nominating committee today as it begins its process of filling vacancies on boards and committees and officers. And Lord, we just do pray for your spirit to be with the committee as it meets and our other boards and committees as they meet in the coming weeks, that they may have your spirit of wisdom with them as they make decisions for our congregation. Lord, as we turn outside our congregation, we pray for our world this day, and we are mindful of airplane crashes and sinking ships and just all the lives that have been lost through disasters. And just pray for the families who are missing their loved ones, and just pray for those who are in the recovery efforts as well, O God. And just pray that we know that it's a difficult time, especially emotionally, and just pray that they may have the stamina to do the job that needs to be done. We pray for the areas of our world where there is warfare going on and violence. Lord, we ultimately pray for peace around our world. We pray that the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, may come to rule this world. It is in his name that we offer all of these prayers. Amen. On this first Sunday of the month, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we receive two different offerings. And this first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. The ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts at this time. Let's pray. Lord God, we present these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us and make us wise stewards of these and all of your blessings to us, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that they may come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. And if you would like to follow along in the Pew Bible, you may find that on page 180 in the back section of the Bible. The Apostle Paul writes, "For once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This ends the reading of God's holy word this day. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and application of it. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of the Apostle Paul, strong words, but also words of encouragement, and we are mindful as we have changed our clocks that this afternoon we'll be sensing that it's darker outside, and yet Paul was not referring to physical darkness, but the spiritual darkness. Lord, we realize, too, that there is spiritual darkness in our world. We pray this day, O Lord, that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living, that we may be true lights to this world, that we may be fruitful in all that we do, that our time may be not wasted, but be in service to you. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. What time is it? When we hear that question, some of us look at our wrist or the watch on our wrist or the watch hanging around our neck as a pendant or perhaps the watch hiding in a pocket. Others may whip out a cell phone and others may rely on a clock on a wall or a desk or some other area. Regardless of what timepiece we use, it's clear that we live in a world obsessed with time. Rarely does anyone sidle up to us in the grocery store anymore and ask, "Do you have the time?" Because almost everyone has some type of timepiece attached to their body. We have multiple apps for tracking our calendars, managing our deadlines, and even timing our commutes to work. We have time staring at us from the corner of our computer screens, from the dashboard of our cars, and from the digital clocks on the banks and businesses down the street. In some cities, in fact, telling time is literally a big deal. For in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, for example, people can't help but see the Abra Al Bayt Towers clock just about anywhere they go. This four-faced clock, visible from 16 miles away, is the highest in the world at over 1,300 feet above the ground. The clock faces are the largest in the world, each measuring 151 feet in diameter, and are illuminated by 2 million LED lights. Time is very important in Mecca. By comparison, we think of Big Ben at Westminster in London. It's the second largest four-faced chiming clock in the world. Each face's frame measures 23 feet in diameter and stands a mere 180 feet above the ground. We're not going to be able to see that for 16 miles. But other cities in the world have similar large clocks to help residents and visitors track their time, some even assisting with chimes or bells when the clock strikes the hour. We'd like to think that the plethora of clocks in our world would make us better at managing our time, but the truth is that time management is one of the biggest stressors in our culture. We work too many hours. We have too many distractions. And we're trying to squeeze in more work in less time. Procrastination is often the result of being so overwhelmed with tasks that we keep putting things off, only to find that we're now even more squeezed for time. The relentless ticking of the clock, or in their case, the movement of the shadow around the sundial, is what the ancient Greeks referred to as chronos time, from which we get chronological time, measuring time. The Apostle Paul now did not wear a watch, and he did not carry a cell phone, but he was nonetheless always aware of time. But it was a different type of time. than we get by when we're glancing at a watch or a large public clock. Paul actually kept a running clock in his head, but instead of tracking the chronos type of time, Paul was far more interested in redeeming the kairos type of time. Two Greek words, chronos, kairos. Kairos is the type of time that is most often mentioned in the New Testament. We won't find it on the hands of the dial of the digital or the digital numbers of a screen. Instead, kairos refers more to the decisive time, the right time, the appropriate time. The writers of the New Testament seem to understand kairos in relation to the moment when God intervenes or is about to intervene in human history. But the word can also mean the time that God's people have to prepare for the ultimate kairos. And thus Paul's admonition to the Ephesians to make the most of their kairos time, because the days are evil, he wrote. It's that kairos expectation that should fuel the management of our chronos time. Paul begins this section of his letter to the Ephesians with a call to set the alarm clock. Now, this morning we might have felt, oh, we don't need to, we've gotten extra hours of sleep. But Paul is saying, kairos time, you need to set the alarm clock every day, every moment. The darkness of evil is about to be exposed by the bright dawn of God's coming kingdom. And thus Paul tells the Ephesian church to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but indeed expose them, because everything exposed to the light becomes visible. With the dawn about to break, that Paul expected Christ's return quickly, Paul uses what may be a line from an ancient song as a wake-up call. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. With that coming moment in mind, Paul urges the church, not only at Ephesus, but the church of the 21st century as well, to be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. Use your time wisely, in other words, by ordering your lives after the new reality that is breaking in. In this way, Paul is saying, you will make the most of the kairos time and live in ways consistent with the coming day of the Lord, and not in step with the present evil that governs the daily calendar of much of the world. To understand what the will of the Lord is and to do it is the best time management strategy in light of the coming of the Lord. For Paul, the way that we become better kairos managers is by being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a contrast to the time-wasting practice of getting drunk and debauched or corrupted. Many people in the ancient world believed that being drunk could produce inspiration and possession by Dionysus, the god of wine. Many people in our day believe that they will get inspiration or at least medication from being intoxicated, not only with alcohol, but also with money or sex or power. They structure their lives and their lives in pursuit of these things, their time and their lives in pursuit of these things, thinking that they will be fulfilled, but they are time killers. The Apostle Paul counters this belief by telling the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit instead of these other things. And you will be able to face the present world not with songs of drunken parties, but the psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms of worship. We hear those words, we read those words, we might sense an echo back to the day of Pentecost, When the Spirit came on the gathered church, as the tongues of fire and mighty wind of the Holy Spirit descended on those first apostles, some of the bystanders looked at their ecstatic behavior and the speaking of this new language and said, "They're filled with new wine." In response, Peter told them to check their watches, since it was only 9 a.m. Instead, their behavior was a sign that the last days, the kairos of God, was at hand. Quoting the prophet Joel, Peter preached, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Life in the Spirit is life in kairos time. And the people of God set their watches and calendars by that standard. These days, we might have atomic clocks in our homes that are accurate to the second because they synchronize automatically with radio frequency with the National Institute of Standards and Technology atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado. The watch on our wrist or the clock on the bill on our bank or one of our businesses might be off. It might be a little fast, it might be a little slow. But the NIST-F2 clock is always right. The same might be said of the Holy Spirit, which calibrates us toward being right with God's time and accurate in our faith and practice. How we make the most of the time is thus a function of how well we use our chronos to focus on our kairos. We need to ask ourselves some questions. How do our calendars reflect time spent cultivating our relationship with God via the Holy Spirit? Does our daily rhythm include time dedicated solely to prayer, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we search the Scriptures daily to understand what is the will of the Lord? Are we participating in weekly worship where we can be filled with the Spirit and make melody to the Lord in our hearts? Rather than just letting time tick away, we need to put it in the Spirit's use. One way we can make use of our chronos time, or kairos time, is the following suggestion. If you regularly carry a timepiece of some sort, be it analog or digital, consider the practice of saying a short prayer every time you check the clock. Every time you, and even if you don't carry something, every time you check the time during the day, consider making a short prayer. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be flamboyant. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, pray for whatever is happening or whomever you're with at that moment. Coupled with a disciplined and regular spiritual life, it's a practice that makes the most of the time in a way that allows the Spirit to work in us and through us. The clocks we see every day should be a reminder to us to keep awake, for the time is coming when the light of God's glory will flood all of creation, pushing out the darkness and bringing in the dawn of new creation. Whether it's as small as a computer timer or as large as a seaworthy ship, every tick of the clock brings us one step closer to that day. We have been given precious time that we can ill afford to waste. Let's pray together. And as we do pray this morning, I'm going to use the words of William F. Lloyd in a hymn that he wrote. Let's pray together. Our times are in thy hand, O our God, we wish them there. Our lives, our friends, Our souls we leave entirely to thy care. Our times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. Our times are in thy hand. Why should we doubt or fear? Our Father's hand will never cause his children needless tears. Our times are in thy hand. We'll always trust in thee. And after death, at thy right hand, we shall forever be. Thank you, Lord, for the Chronos and Kairos time that you have given to us. Help us to live each moment wisely through the guidance of your Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion today is In His Time, number 575.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as the faithful disciples of the Christ, that we will cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of the communion table. And as the host, he invites each one of us with these words. Do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross, dying for you, paying the price for your sins, was buried, resurrected, and ascended to heaven and preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today. For as the host, Jesus invites all believers to his table. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that we have not earned a seat at your table. It is only through your grace and mercy that we are invited here. In these moments, Lord, we confess to you now those sins that we are aware of that we have committed and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do pray now that you would forgive us of our sins. Purify us, cleanse us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. Amen. That last night that Jesus was here on earth, he and his disciples gathered in the upper room. Jesus was aware that the chronos time for his life was very, very short. But he also realized that what was going to be taking place in the coming hours was part of God's kairos time for him and for all humanity. And he took the bread from the table, part of the Seder meal, and after giving thanks for the bread, he broke the bread and told his disciples, this bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. And he told them, whenever you eat this bread, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. broken bread, broken body, broken that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of Jesus. As the meal continued in that upper room, Jesus took the cup, and after giving thanks to God for the cup, he began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it. And he told them, this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory and thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for us, sinners that we are, that you loved us so much, that you're willing to go and do that for us. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we will see you face to face when you will call us into your eternal presence and we may be living with you forever. Until that day, Lord, help us to live wisely each moment that we have here on earth. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out that evening. Our closing hymn is God Be With You, number 785. We'll be singing verse 1 only. The Apostle Paul wrote to the early churches these words of instruction. Make the best possible use of your time. And be very careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. As we leave this service of worship, may our prayer be that of the Psalms where we read, "So teach us to count our days, Lord, that we may gain a wise heart." Amen.